You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 19 November. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Nesanaya Sasfin, there's live healthcare results and updates from both Sohals, gaming and hotels. Blessing Utete, talking around the proposed two-pot pension scheme that came out of the midterm budget policy statement. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Investec confident of continued recovery. Good results out of them. Cash dividend, but also they're going to be distributing most of their shares in 91. They hold 27% and will kick out 15% of it, leaving themselves with just 12%. Business day, central bank still dovish after hiking rates for the first time in 3 years. Prime went up to 7.25, repo to 3.75. The decision was after 3 MPC members voted for an increase and 2 voted to keep rates on hold. Morning markets are green everywhere. In the US, we've got the S&P up a third, NASDAQ up 1.1%, both all-time highs. Asia, we've got Sydney up 0.1% and Turkey up 0.4%. Commodities green, gold 1866, Brent 8213 a barrel, palladium 2148 an ounce. Rand got caned yesterday, 1564. Top 40 opening call, about 320 points higher. That's about 0.5% as Tencent trades down 0.9% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Nesanaya, portfolio manager, Sasfin Securities. Nesan, appreciate the early morning. Life healthcare results out yesterday. It's one of the oddities of the pandemic. 2 years ago, if you'd said there'll be a pandemic, you'd think, yes, healthcare stocks. They had a tough time, which seemed odd. In hindsight, made sense. But these numbers, which, as they point out, actually included two waves, both second and third, a good set of numbers from them.
Yeah, I thought so as well, Simon. Good morning. It was a very tough time, I think, for a lot of the healthcare stocks, because I think on the one hand, yes, you did have a healthcare crisis, and yes, volumes were up, but I don't think they were making too much a margin. From the pandemic, I don't think they could. Remember that the margin business in these private healthcare stocks is a lot of the elective surgery. And of course, that had to go completely on the back burner while they had to deal with a more imminent health crisis. And so, across the board, you saw even though the volumes were up, the revenue numbers were quite weak. And it's good to see that, even Netcare as well, their update, all showing signs of recovery now, revenue-wise. And, it was always going to, there were always going to be a little bit of a lag, as things got under control in terms of the pandemic. There was going to be a lag in terms of their profitability, but I thought they did quite well. Even their UK operations still very strong. So I think for me, this might be a turning point for some of these healthcare stocks. Might be too early.
Yeah, it might be, but I like your point. I mean, they've kind of, I suppose, learned to live with the pandemic, and expectations are a fourth wave might see even less hospitalizations. Maybe there is something there. Two updates from the two Sohals, Sun Hotels and Soho Sun Gaming. The gaming is up 5x from the lows of last year. Hotels up 2.5 times from those lows. In a sense, I suppose we were kind of expecting it.
Yeah, I think for them, they were also pretty hard hit. Remember, a lot of these casinos and whatever were fully closed. And, I think the initial impact on revenue was always going to be difficult, because nobody really planned to have their businesses shut down completely. But I think once people started applying their mind, even though we had a second and a third wave, and there were sort of intermittent periods when the businesses had to close, and obviously they had to work within these very confined curfew periods. I think they adjusted their business model, you know, to be able to serve customers, gamers, during those times, and at the same time improve their revenue. I was quite happy that they'd actually reported a profit. Because I think from a lot of the sectors, certainly the hospitality sector, like the healthcare sector, has been one of the hardest hit for this pandemic.
Is there opportunity in this sort of hospitality, or has that? I mean, I mentioned up front, you know, the gaming circles up 5x from those lows, even the hotel up 2.5x. We've seen a lot of activity in City Lodge, albeit it stood a battered stock after that massive rights issue. Is there opportunity here? Is it a case of, you know what, the prices are probably reflected the next couple of years?
I think it's a great opportunity, but you have to be very selective, you know. Obviously, Sun International as well, put it in the mix there, came into the pandemic with a lot of debt. And it's going to be, for me, a question of how good management is in navigating this. And I think that of Sun International, City Lodge and Soho, I think Soho are probably a little bit ahead, you know, of their competitors. So I would expect there to be a strong recovery. I think it would be led by the likes of a Soho, but don't write off Sun International City Lodge just yet.
I take your point on that. Quick last one, Motus, which is relatively new to the market, but I note it's actually trading at all-time highs, and it did list, quickly need to zoom out there, in fact, towards the end of 2018. Trading update, we've seen Combined Motor Holding, and they're struggling to source stock, but what they can sell, they are getting good margins for it. I mean, we saw the same with Transaction Capital, and because, of course, they've got We Buy Cars.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and this is a global phenomenon.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether it has to do ultimately with the OEMs and the chip shortage. It could very well be. But globally, we're finding there is a shortage of new vehicles out there. And, that's helping to push up the price in the second-hand market and the used market. And helping, as you said, We Buy Cars is a lot of their growth is also because they can source good quality vehicles at good prices. It might also be the price of new vehicles, although I think the interest rate would have, in the last year or so, would have helped, with that. But, you know, yesterday we had an increase in interest rates, so I suppose that's going to increase as well. I still think the second-hand car market is going to be pretty robust, because of the sort of implied shortages in the new vehicle market and the pricing.
Yeah, and rentals. I mean, by all accounts, if you're going to Cape Town for Christmas, there are no rental cars. You are walking. Actually, I suppose you could be. You could be in an Uber. Nessa Naya, portfolio manager, Sasfin Securities. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Blessing Utete, Head of Corporate Consultants at Old Mutual Corporate. Blessing, appreciate the time today. In our midterm budget policy statement of last week, the minister, he endorsed a two-pot retirement system. He didn't give us a heck lot of details, but he gave us some insight. I think the two important points is that pension fund, provident funds will no longer have full access when changing jobs or being retrenched. And perhaps the bigger one is that you will have access to some of your Reg 28 funds ahead of retirement. I mean, this is a big story for South African savers, investors, and ultimate retirees.
Hi, Simon. Thank you very much for having me. So, yes, you're right. I mean, I think from a South African retirement industry perspective, this is quite a significant change in the dynamics. I think if you think about, you know, someone that's worked in the industry for some time, I believe that the proposed reforms will improve retirement outcomes ultimately, because we're going to have a lot more preservation in the long term than we do now.
Yeah.
And we certainly need retirement fund members to be less dependent on the state or their family when they retire. So whilst there's been a lot said about this early access and the possible relief it can have for financial emergencies, I think the big positive out of this is really the idea of some preservation taking place.
Yeah, because in the past you could leave a job. I mean, there was a tax implication, but a lot of folks sort of shrugged off the tax implication. And truthfully, you know, if you were in your 20s or even in your 30s, it might have been a small amount of money. But get to retirement age, that money would have been vast.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you look at the stats, and this is really the big issue with our industry. I mean, over 80% of members that change jobs, they take their retirement savings in cash and they spend them on other things, not for retirement. And so this massive leak in the system generally means that people don't have decent retirement benefits when they get to retirement. You know, we've got dismal stats about only 6% of the people in retirement being able to get to a decent retirement outcome. So this ability to actually make sure that people preserve, even when they change jobs, is a significant turn in our industry.
Yeah, with respect, I was one of those 80%, but my defense is I was young. I was in my 20s at the time. I was ignorant. And the flip side is, I mean, it's almost, you know, the minister's kind of taking with one hand and giving with the other. He's saying, look, I appreciate sometimes things happen. I mean, COVID's a perfect example. So you will have some access ahead of retirement to those Reg 28 products.
That's right. So we expect that what will happen is the note that we're expecting from the minister, as he said in the budget, is that there will be an accessible pot of your retirement and a non-accessible pot. That's why we're calling it the two-pot system. So that non-accessible pot will be protected until retirement, and then you'll be able to access your accessible pot in the short term when there's a financial emergency or you need some relief. But there's obviously not much detail around that at the moment.
Yeah, but what he's also doing, I mean, the one concern certainly I'd thought about, if he'd said, look, you can take your Reg 28 early and maybe some tax implications or something, it would have put some liquidity issues on the industry. This makes it a much more manageable process, albeit we need to see the numbers.
Absolutely, Simon. We need to see the numbers, but I still think we need to understand the liquidity issues properly. I mean, there's 8 million members in the retirement savings net. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine if we get a partial access, let's say a third is accessible, that's still a significant chunk of assets. Okay. And we don't necessarily want a run on those assets. We definitely want to make sure that there's some measures to control how that money is paid out or accessed. When it's available.
We're going to, I imagine there'll probably still be some consultation, but we'll hear the sort of the hard details in the February budget, I imagine.
That's what we're expecting. But we're actually expecting a paper with more details shortly from National Treasury. That's what was mentioned, that there will be some details issued soon. So we're hoping that anytime now we get some more detail.
Okay, because I mean, some of the questions, I mean, one that sprung to me is you know, what about SARS? And because at this point in time, when I hit 55, I can access the money, there's tax implications. And I suppose another is going to be that frequency.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's a couple of things in terms of what we're expecting. I think, you know, we certainly want to know how it's going to work, you know, how much will be allowed, what are the timelines around this, you know, what rules are available. And you mentioned quite rightly, you know, typically one would be able to withdraw or, you know, on resignation or retrenchment or being dismissed, you can access your money. Now, and that there's certain tax implications of that, which are more stringent than when you get to retirement. So are those tax implications going to continue in terms of just, or are we going to get more stringent or less stringent based on the accessibility that comes with it? So there's a bit of gray on that, on those areas.
And there's some gray, as you said, we'll get a document, we'll get some insight to it. My sense is that broadly and lacking some of the hard details, I appreciate, this is actually a really elegant solution and actually a good move for our retirement industry. I mean, do you concur with that?
I agree. I think it's definitely a pragmatic solution that manages both ends. We know the COVID pandemic had a big realization around emergency savings for individuals. Unfortunately, in South Africa, we realize that most people only have one form of savings, which is compulsory, which is the pension savings. So you're balancing that with, you know, how do we make that a short-term access available, but make sure that the long-term is also taken care of. And that's why we certainly are in support of this two-pot arrangement.
The other story, I've spoken with colleagues of yourself and then peers in the industry. The other two sort of debating points around infrastructure assets within a Reg 28 and then also the limitations, particularly on offshore. Have we had any indication of that, or is it seemingly that Treasury is kind of saying this perhaps is the biggie right now?
Yes, it is. I mean, I think this is the biggie. And I think there's been pressure on this one for some time. I mean, you would have, I mean, it came out and we had various other political parties putting papers into parliament mm-hmm. to say how this. So I think there is a bit of more pressure on this one at the moment to get some more news on that. But I think certainly there's more that's going to come on the infrastructure front around Reg 28. Coming
yeah.
up.
And this is, and you made the point earlier that, you know, and far too many South Africans, their only real savings, what the number you said there, 6% of people are really ready, which puts then the liability on the state, on friends, on family, and a bit of regulation around that to almost kind of force us to do some good things is not a bad thing.
Absolutely, Simon. I certainly agree with that, yeah.
We'll leave that there. That's Blessing Uteta. He's head of corporate consultants at Old Mutual Corporate. We'll see more details around this coming up, and then, of course, the February budget. But broadly, I think it's a great idea. We'll see exactly how it all plays out. Blessing, really appreciate the time today.
And that's our poll for today, which you can have your vote, have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles at MoneyWeb. Would you draw some cash out? Perhaps because times are tough, and that's the plan behind it. Perhaps you would take cash to actually try and avoid Reg 28, because you get it out, you can do what you want with it. Or maybe you would leave it. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
So some Friday thoughts from me. MPC raised rates yesterday. This is after 3 years of decreases and the lowest prime rate in generations. I think it goes back to the 70s since we had a 7% prime. I got to say, the vote was 3-2 in favor, still fairly dovish. And I suspect this rising cycle is not going to be steep nor long. Maybe we get to 8 and 8 or 8 and a bit on prime. But if you listen to the statement from the governor yesterday, inflation is not expected to breach the top of the 6% band. So I think probably fairly short and modest. Winners typically in a rising interest rate environment, banks and insurers. That's what everyone will tell you. Banks and insurers are the ones that come out on top in rising interest rates. And then Grindrod. I spoke about Grindrod last week, the midterm budget policy statement allowing for private wagons on Transnet rails, potentially good for Grindrod, although that by the end of next year. And then more news out. ShopRite, as MoneyWeb were reporting during the week, they've suddenly turned their extra savings cards into bank accounts. That gives them potentially 20 million customers who have those cards. Now, they don't have 20 million at this point, but here's the thing. Who's back-ending that? Well, Grindrod Bank. I think Grindrod needs some digging, and I think next result season we'll definitely get them on the show and dig into that. That's it for today. A poll yesterday, we asked you about your preferred retailer, food retailer, ShopRite, Spar, Woolies. A couple of you said, what about Pick and Pay? Okay, there wasn't a Pick and Pay there because I forgot. But also, they actually hadn't had any data out last week. In my defense, we had had a really poor update from Woolies, really strong update from ShopRite, and a poor set of numbers, especially in Poland, from Spar. So where are most of you shopping? Almost 40% Woolies for the chuckles every time. Just over a third at ShopRite. About a fifth of you at Spar. So the poll, not quite in terms of coming in line with those updates. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app 6:30. 7:30 a.m. podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.